Or am I not? Oh, there we go. And God said, let there be sound. No, God said, let there be light. Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to share from the Word with you this morning. I would like to begin with a hypothetical situation. Okay, so it's completely hypothetical. And as I share with you, you probably will see some connections I'm trying to make. But I invite you to stick with me and you'll get what I mean. So let's say that about a week from now, we're going to have something called Vacation Bible Camp. Okay? Let's say from a week from now, we're going to have something called Vacation Bible Camp. And there are a number of leaders that have decided to meet together and basically have an active discussion about how the stations that the kids are going to visit through the week, how they're going to be run. Okay? Now, I don't want to use particular human names because I don't want to make you feel like I'm talking specifically about you. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to use Pokemon names. Okay? I'm going to use Pokemon character names to describe these leaders, okay, and what they're going to talk about, okay? So, for example, let's say one is Pikachu, okay? Pikachu is your lightning mouse, right? And he decides that he wants to do what he usually does year after year in a vacation Bible camp to lead Kidbit Cinema. Now, Kidbit Cinema is basically a station where they get to watch a video of a child who has experienced, you know, that Jesus gives us courage, that Jesus gives us direction, and things like that, the points of each day of VBS. So he has the opportunity to do that, and he will share with the kids, you know, the Bible verse of the day. Then there is Squirtle. Squirtle is your tortoise, okay, who shoots waters, and he has the water gun attack. And what he does, he usually takes part in these sports and games, right, because he can shoot water, right? And the kids really like that. What about Bulbasaur? Then there's Bulbasaur. Bulbasaur is part of Imagination Station. The reason why he's part of Imagination Station is because he has this attack called Razor Leaf, and he uses the leaf as part of the crafts, because that's what Imagination Station is about, to create crafts that highlight the point of each VBS day. Then there's Jigglypuff. Okay, Jigglypuff, she has been involved with the Bible Drama Station. Usually she really likes to sing, and to show the Bible story through her singing. And then there's Charmander. Charmander is your lizard who shoots out fire, has an ember attack, and he likes to be part of the sing and play rock, the opening and closing. So they decide to meet all together. And they're trying to figure out, okay, how should we do VBS this year? How should we do VBC this year? How should we run Vacation Bible Camp this year? And they're trying to figure out, well, you know, Pikachu says, I've done Kidbit Cinema for a while, and I know it's because, you know, I'm full of electricity, and I can power the TV, I can power the DVD, and therefore it's convenient, and so they can play the DVD. I get that. But, you know, I've never tried Imagination Station. I've never tried working with kids and figuring out, you know, what are those crafts like and how to figure out those things as well. But then everyone else says, but Pikachu, you provide free electricity. You provide free electricity. So why don't you just stay at that station? But Pikachu says, no, I really want to expand my horizon. I want to learn something else. And then something similar happened too with Squirtle. You know, Squirtle was a part of sports and games. And people were saying, oh, when you evolve, you're going to become a Blastoise with cannons. And, you know, you shoot a bunch of water and the kids are going to love it. But then Squirtle's like, well, I've done that before as well, and I know I want to try something new as well. You know, maybe I want to try the Bible Drama Station and work with kids in there and try to figure out how to tell a Bible story through the acts of drama. But Jigglypuff's like, no, I like that. I like the Bible Drama. I'm really comfortable there. Sure, sometimes when I sing, part of my attack was when I sing, people fall asleep. That's okay. I accept that. But, you know, I really like that station. What are we seeing here? Now, it's cute, okay? The way I framed it, it's cute, it's funny, okay? But what if it was real people, right? What if it was real people? What if it was believers in a Christian community that are disagreeing and conflicting with each other in this way? How do we handle that? How do we deal with conflict of interest, disagreements? What does a Christian community do when disagreements and conflicts happen in the community? What could be the source of such disagreement and conflicts? How can such a Christian community be brought to harmony and peace in the midst of disagreements and conflicts? This is what we're going to be talking about this morning in this message, about disagreements and conflicts, and how can disagreements and conflicts, which is framed under a big word, dissension, lead to harmony. If you've been with us, we've been studying through the book of James. In the book of James, the way it's structured, it's almost like a lot of proverbial sayings, like the book of Proverbs. And sometimes it's really hard to link these together. It's written by the brother of Jesus, and it's probably one of the earliest books in the New Testament. And it's a very practical book about practical faith in the Christian life. And if you've been with us, back in the beginning of this month, we had a visiting preacher, Pastor Ken Liu, who came by and preached about the beginning of chapter 3, on how the tongue is a very powerful, restless evil, that if we don't know how to control it, we can cause much destruction and much pain to other people. Pastor Enoch, last week, he preached about wisdom. What is true wisdom? True Christian wisdom. Not wisdom that's earthly and human, but wisdom that's from above. Wisdom that is from God. And James, in chapter 4, as we can look a little further this morning, he basically brings those two ideas together. He takes the taming of the tongue, the way we use our tongue to speak words, and how we should be really careful about that, and he takes the wisdom that we should aim for, wisdom that is from above, that's from God, and he puts them all together and says, now this is about quarreling. This is about the type of verbal argument and verbal disagreement that's happening in this Christian community. So, but before we go any further, I invite you to pray with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you have brought us here to fellowship, to worship, to give praise to your name, but also some time to reflect on your word as well. Lord, I pray that your spirit would work among us. I pray that your spirit would work in me as well, that the words I speak were the words that you give me. And I pray for us as a congregation that your spirit would empower us and enlighten us as we study your word. Lord, I pray that your word would be, like your word says, is a double-edged sword that cuts in our heart, that convicts us of our sin and of who we are. So Lord, we lift this morning up to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning's message, basically I formed it in three questions which make up the 3 points for our message this morning. So the first question is, what is a cause or reason for dissension to appear in a Christian community? What is a cause or reason for dissension to appear in a Christian community? What is the source of that? Why does dissension, disagreements, quarreling, and conflict appear in a Christian community? So that's our first question we're going to look at. The second question is, how does this particular cause or reason affect our relationship with God? So once we affirm this particular cause that's causing dissension, that's causing disagreement and conflict in the Christian community, at least according to James, how does that affect the way we relate to God? How does that affect the way we stand, where we stand with God and where we stand with each other? And the third thing is, how do we deal with this particular cause or reason? How do we deal with this particular cause or reason so that there is harmony instead of dissension? How do we deal with this particular cause so that there's harmony and peace with both God and with each other instead of dissension? So those are our three questions that we're going to look at this morning as we look at this passage. So let's look at the first question. So what is the cause? What is the cause or reason for dissension to appear in a Christian community? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to follow along with chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3. James writes, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." So remember, James is taking now the issue of the uses of the tongue. That it's very powerful, that we need to put it under control. Now he's talking about wisdom as well. We need to put those two together. And he's talking about this quarreling going on. There are verbal disputes going on in the Christian community that I, right now, as James, as in this passage, I want to address to you. And depending on the translation and how you look at the text, the quarrels and fights, they could be referred to physical violence. There are places in the New Testament and also in the Greek translation all the time that it refers to physical violence. There's also this metaphorical meaning to refer to verbal quarreling, verbal disputes. Which makes sense because James has been talking about came in the tongue, that the words that we speak. And so, what is the reason? What causes quarrels, fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions war within you? That word passions is the Greek word hedone, which is where we get the English word hedonism. Right? It refers to pleasures or self-indulgent desires. So is it these self-indulgent desires that are at war within the members of your body, that within the members of within you? And he says, you guys, you Christian community, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Now, whether to take that murder as literally, or to take that murder as, well, something that's hypothetical that could happen if they continue in this quarreling, if they continue submitting to these pleasures and passions that are of war within them, I would say it's part literal, but eventually, if they were continue to quarrel, if they were continue to quarrel because of submitting to their passions, their selfish desires, and their self-indulgence, that they will lead to that. And then he goes and says, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. I like the, I think it's the NIV translation, where it talks about you are, no, the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it says, you are envious. You are envious. Which links back to chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, about how wisdom, human and earthly wisdom, manifests itself as jealousy. As jealousy and as selfish ambition. So he's pointing back to that as he's addressing to this Christian community. You covet and cannot obtain, or you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And someone may say, well, we do ask. Well, then James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You ask with wrong motives, or the Greek word is kakos, to ask wickedly or badly, to spend it on your own passions, which is the same word back in verse 1, the hedone, the pleasures, the self-indulgent desires. So without that, what is the cause, right? What is the basic back to the question, what is the cause or reason for dissension to appear in a Christian kingdom? Well, the answer is this, our self-indulgence, right? It is our self-indulgence. The desire for one's own way. The desire to go our own way. To have our own advantage. It is our pleasures. It is our own pleasures. Our wanting our own pleasures and desires and passions to be fulfilled. It is our self-centeredness that we want it to be fulfilled. Now, there's a fast food restaurant chain that I think points this out really clear. It's Burger King. Hey, you guys eat Burger King? Eat a Burger King? Burger King has a very cool slogan. Their slogan is, have it your way, right? Have it your way. Come in, have it your way. Now, I don't know if we were to stretch the statement, right? If we were to stretch the statement of have it your way, then it really doesn't matter what Burger King, you know, serve on their menu. Now, I don't personally, I don't really like Burger King. In fact, I prefer Chick-fil-A or Wendy's over Burger King. But this will still make the same point. So at one, about a couple of weeks ago, a week ago, I went to Wendy's at 1 a.m. Okay, so I was busy working and studying, and I decided to have a snack. Okay, so I drove out, okay, and I went to the Wendy's that's in Quincy. Okay, right now there's only one because the other one's construction. Anyway, I went to the Wendy's that's in Quincy that's open at through the midnight, okay, and I went there, and there was a long, long line. Okay, long, long line, okay, and I was probably maybe the second or third car in. And I could hear the person who's at the intercom, right, making the order. And I roll down my window, right, and I'm hearing the order, okay, and I'm hearing, I was like, man, this person who's at the intercom is ordering a lot of stuff. He's ordering a lot of food. Now, as far as I can tell, he's the only one in the car, okay? He's ordering a lot of food, and he's making all these modifications. No mayo here, no ketchup here, tomato on this, no tomato on that, lettuce here, no lettuce on that, no pickles, can I add a side order of fries as well, and all this stuff. And this is playing 5 minutes or 10 minutes, he's making this order. And there's a long line of cars, right? And I could imagine, as I'm sitting there, and maybe other people who are sitting on that line is like, man, this guy really wants to have it his way. This guy really wants to make sure he has it his way. All the condiments or no condiments, everything that he wants. And I sit there, I'm like, man. And I've been, and because I've served in customer service, I kind of get this feeling whenever I hear, you know, customers making all these specific wantings and specific, you know, want this, not want that, and all this. And I feel for that person on the intercom, which is on the other side, taking this order. It's like, yeah, you are really want to have it your way. And you just want everything here, not here, and not this and not that. And I can feel inside with me, maybe some other people who are not inside, just feeling, oh, just finish your order, please. Just get on with it. Right? It's like I was having an inner conflict within myself, trying to say, I wish I could just say to the guys, like, just make your order and go, right? Sometimes our own self-indulgent desires, our own self-centered desires, causes dissension, causes to have conflict with someone else. Right? I could have gone up to the guy, right, and said, just make your order and go, hurry up, right? I was just boiling inside and coughing and just wanting to say something, right? Because when someone takes advantage of just their own desires, it affects other people, and therefore there's disagreements and conflicts can arise. It also can manifest itself in the field of ministry as well. You know, focusing on, for example, if I were to focus on what would bring me the most joy and pleasure in serving in the ministry instead of what would be the best for the entire ministry team and participants of the ministry, yeah, that's because I would be focusing on what I want, what would bring me most joy, what would bring me most enjoyment. That is a cause. That is a cause, a reason for why there are conflicts, why there are quarrels that can happen, that can appear in a Christian community. So that's the reason, right? Our own pleasures, our self-centered desires. But then we ask our second question, right? How does this particular cause or reason, how do these pleasures, self-indulgent pleasures, affect our relationship with God? I would invite you to turn with me again. Let's continue on. James chapter 4, continue from starting verse 4. James says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us?" So now James, right, before he's addressed them before as brothers and dear brothers, now he addresses directly, he says, "You adulterous people." He's using Old Testament language of the prophets where God's people would not be faithful to God. Instead, they will follow after idols. They will worship idols, worship Baal and other false gods. And he points to him and says, yeah, you are actually doing the exact same thing as God's people of the Old Testament time. I can call you adulterous too, because you are actually committing spiritual adultery. How are you doing that? Because you as a community now, as James is telling, you as a community, you are submitting to your own pleasures. You are caring about your own selfish desires. You are caring about your own feeling of envy, feeling of wanting the advantage of someone else who possesses it. Your feelings of envy, feelings of these pleasures. And that is not wisdom from above. Back in chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. That is not representative of wisdom from above. That is representative of wisdom, earthly and human wisdom, that James calls in chapter 3, verse 15, as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So when you submit to those pleasures, they're showing their selfish ambition. They're submitting to their selfish ambition. They're submitting to human envy. And to do so is to follow the world's standards. The world's standards, the world's values, the world's idea, which stand opposed to God. So whoever does that, whoever in the Christian community does that, they make themselves an enemy of God. They make themselves an enemy of God towards God, and also toward from hostility and enmity that is toward God and from God to the believers as well. And he tells them, well, remember, God is a jealous God. Right? Old Testament teaches us that God is a jealous God. Not jealous in a negative sense, but this divine jealousy, this feeling of that God has that it's that He's intolerant of rivalry. He's intolerant of unfaithfulness because God knows that He has no rival. That He has no rival. That God's people, His people, should be faithful to Him who has given them life and designated them to be His people. And He tells them, He yearns jealousy. Verse 5. He, God, yearns jealousy over the Spirit, over the human, over God's people that He has made to dwell in us. So how does this particular cause or reason, how do these pleasures and self-indulgent desires affect our relationship with God? What's this? It causes us to commit spiritual adultery. It causes us to commit spiritual adultery, and it causes us to be placed in the position of being enemies of God. Who here is a Boston Red Sox fan? Raise your hand if you're a Boston Red Sox fan. Okay, there's a good number of you are Boston Red Sox fans. Who of you have been to a Red Sox game, a Red Sox versus Yankees game at Fenway? Okay, there are a few of you. Now, I've come to know that there are some really diehard Boston Red Sox fans, right? There are some really diehard. They go in there, they decorate themselves, they wear all the merchandise. You know, they won't even wear a shirt, right? They'll paint themselves, they'll paint their bodies, right? Red and white. Well, the spiritual adultery that James taught this, to be enemies of God, it's sort of like this. It's sort of like how a diehard Boston Red Sox fan views someone from Boston who finds pleasure and enjoyment watching the New York Yankees and wears New York Yankees merchandise during a Red Sox versus Yankees game at Fenway Park. Right? If a person from Boston, right, if you never meet a diehard Red Sox fan, and that person knows who someone else who is from Boston and says, you know, I actually prefer the New York Yankees more. I'm from Boston, but I actually prefer the New York Yankees more, and I'm going to wear their merchandise, and I'm going to support them when they play at Fenway Park, when it's Red Sox versus Yankees. I'm going to proudly go to Fenway Park, wear that merchandise, and wear it proudly. Now, the diehard Boston Red Sox fan is like, okay, you can do that, but as far as this game goes, I see that you have basically sworn allegiance, okay, to another team that we are against, the New York Yankees. You're basically telling us that at this moment, we should treat you as the enemy. Right? We should treat you as the enemy. That same thing sort of is what happens now, at this passage. James is telling the people that to indulge in pleasures and to indulge in selfish desires is not to swear allegiance anymore to God. It's to swear allegiance to the world's standards, the world's views, the world's understanding of what is wisdom. And that will make you an enemy of God. It's sort of like what Jesus said. Remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or to be devoted to one, or to despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Why? Because God is a jealous God. He has no rivals. He should not be represented by His people in an unfaithful way. Because God is the Creator. He has no rivals. So how does this particular cause, or how does this affect your relationship with God? It causes us to commit spiritual adultery and places us in a position of being enemies of God. But then how do we deal with this, right? How do we deal with this particular cause, this particular pleasures and self-indulgent desires that are at war within us, that causes dissension? How do we deal with this particular cause so that there's harmony instead of dissension? I invite you to look with me now, verses 6 to 10. Verses 6 to 10, James writes. Let's start back at verse 5. Let's start back at verse 5. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, He, that is God, yearns jealousy over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So starting from verse 6 and onwards, basically says, okay, you guys are spiritual adulterers, okay? You guys have submitted in a lot of ways to your own selfish desires and pleasures. But remember, God's a jealous God. He's a merciful God. And so even in the midst of that, you submitting to those desires, God's going to give you grace. God's going to give you grace to get you out of that mindset, to get you out of there and to focus on Him. He gives you more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Which gives a hint that James may be suggesting that people in this community that he's addressing, they are very prideful. They're very prideful of what they think. They're very prideful of their own advantages. They're very prideful of their desires. But he quotes from Proverbs 3:34 here, that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, he's telling the believers, okay, but He only gives grace to those who are humble. Therefore, you have to humble yourself. You have to realize that that you have to have an attitude of obedience, an attitude of lowliness in light of where you stand with God, in light of your status with God. Then he goes to a series of commands. He goes to from 7, verses 7 to 10, he goes in rapid fire, series of commands. How are they to have harmony? How are they to get out of this feeling of dissension and the cause of our selfless pleasure and desires? And he tells them, first, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be wretched. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Humble yourselves. So how do we deal with this, right? How do we deal with this particular cause or reason so that there's harmony instead of dissension? Well, it basically comes in four parts. Okay, from verses 7 to 10, or 6 to 10, it comes in four parts. The first part is submitting to God and be humble. Submitting to God and be humble. Recognizing that we are to be under His lordship and to obey whatever the Lord says. And to be humble. Have that attitude of lowliness and obedience in light of our relationship with God. And when we do that, when we submit to God and we are humble before Him, we resist the devil. We resist the devil. Because we recognize it's not about our pleasures. It's not about our self-indulgent pleasures. It's not about our self-indulgent desires. It's about God. It's about us as a community, because all those verses are all in second person plural, so He's not singling out anyone. He's addressing the whole community, that they as a community collectively are to submit to God, humble themselves, and realize it's not about their desires. It's not about your selfish pleasures. Resist it, and then draw near to God. Approach God in worship, like the type of imagery that's in the Old Testament. And be repentant. You have this language here of cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Signs that He wants the believers to be sorrowful for their sin. He wants the believers to be sorrowful for their self-indulgent desires, for their self-indulgent pleasures. And to be sorrowful so that they can turn back to God, to come near to God, and to humble and submit to God. And then finally, I'm not going to touch on too much on verses 11 and 12 because I want to leave room for Pastor Steve, who will be preaching from verses 11 and 12. But James here, he actually finishes the discussion about speech, about the problem with speech and the problem of the tongue. Verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law." So as a community, they're not to be slandering one another. They're not to be slandering one another. They're not to be judging and condemning one another. It is like this. It's like when team members of a Christian community realize that they don't know what is best. Right? That they don't actually really know what is best. That it is all, it's not about fulfillment of their own desires and pleasures and even their plans, but it's about realizing that they need to come before God in submission and humility, confessing their imperfections and inadequacies. So So what is our big idea? What is the idea that we're getting at this message? Well, it's basically this.
That the movement from dissension because of our selfish desires to harmony requires us to collectively come before the Lord in submission, humility, and repentance. The movement from dissension, from disagreements and quarrels that happen in our community, in the Christian community, because of our selfish desires, to harmony requires us to collectively come before the Lord in submission, humility, and repentance. In the close of the story. So, on July 10th, there was the day before Vacation Bible School started. It was basically the kickoff day. And the kickoff day usually involves just decorating the whole building, right? Decorating the fellowship hall, decorating all the rooms that all the stations will be at. Imagination Station, the drama station, snacks, Kivet Cinema. Sports are outside, so we don't need to decorate that. And I'm missing one. But anyway, so to decorate all the stations and to decorate the whole Chinese church building. And I remember as everyone left the building, it was just John and I together, Brother John. And we were co-directing VBS this year. I had a great opportunity and joy to do that. And I remember when we were together, he comes alongside me and says, "Sam, we need to pray. Sam, we need to pray." Now, for those of you who know me and know John, know that we're quite different. We are quite different. And in fact, I mean, starting from, I think, all back in February or March, when we were discussing and planning things out, it's true because of our personalities, and I think maybe I can't speak for him, but my own selfish desires and my own pleasures, you know, caused us to not always see things eye to eye, right? Not always see things eye to eye. And so, right at the day before, he comes alongside and says, "Sam, we need to pray." So we go to the conference room. We know our building. We go to the conference and we sit on the couch. And, you know, there was just a lot of things on our minds. Last-minute things to cross our T's and dot our I's. And as we prayed together, I could sense that, yeah, we did all this preparation. Yeah, we may not have gotten all that we wanted to have. There are some bumps on the road, right, on all the planning, even on the day before. But it's not about what we want. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. It's what God wants for Newton VBS 2016. And as we pray together, I could sense that in our prayers that we were submitting to God. We were just laying ourselves before Him, saying, you know, we're inadequate. We have imperfections in all our planning. But Lord, we just trust you. We submit to you, and we just lay ourselves before you and trust that you will work all everything out. And I remember just praying that with John, and it's like, yeah, it's not about my desires, or his, or any of us. A wise brother, after VBS, I was asking for review notes of how they felt about VBS because he was running a station. And a wise brother, in one of his comments, he said, "We should stop doing what we want to do. Stop doing what we want to do. And start doing what God wants us to do." I said, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what exactly James is telling us. We should just stop doing what we want to do. Stop doing going by what our pleasures and desires. And to start doing what God wants us to do. What is according to His will, according to His wisdom. I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me as we close. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will forgive us. For those of us here who have worked in ministry or worked as a part of a team, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the times where we just focus on our own desires and our own advantage and our own joy and pleasure. Instead of submitting to you, instead of looking to you and what you want to be done. Lord, I pray for us as a community, as we go forth together in ministry, that Lord, I know we are so different, that we're going to face bumps in the road. There are going to be times where we're going to offer our opinions and we may disagree here and there, face conflict. But Lord, I pray that in the midst of that, do we come to realize it's not about us. It's not about our desires. It's not about our pleasures. It's about you.
that you would be glorified, that you, your church would flourish, that you would be honored and glorified in all the ministries that we partake in, that we have the privilege and honor to partake in. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.